How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number 2 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got the C-Note coming up here in 20 minutes. The latest intel on Jaden Blue. I think you're going to like it. It's 20 minutes away. Here's Wolchuk with your football fix.
Let's get our fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation, bro.
Oh, I got to get my fix, man.
Well, the other type of world football, it only took 2 minutes for Germany to get on the board against Ecuador. It's 1-0, and this was an outstanding play by Germany to even get in position for this goal. Just absolute crazy play here. Didn't end up kicking an Ecuadorian in the face, but still, it looked badass, and that's how quickly the Germans are now on the board. All right, Pete Prisco's at it again, folks. He's pissing people off. What else is new? He's got his new top 100 out. He does this every year, and I do look forward to it because I think there's a lot of good debate. We can probably get content out of this for the rest of the week. But the top 100 players, number one, not a surprise, it's Myles Garrett. He's got Matthew Stafford of the LA Rams at 2. We'll hear from Stafford here soon. Josh Allen at 3. Ja'Marr Chase at 4. And Joe Burrow at 5. That is the top 5 players he's got on the list. Penei Sewell from the Lions, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Jefferson, Puka, and Lamar are your top 10. Now, where are all
of Stafford's
your Dallas
our guy. I know Stafford is our Highland Park guy.
Are you
going to
crap
that
on Stafford now?
If you had to start a team and you only got 1 year.
Yeah.
Is Stafford in the top 5 quarterbacks taken? Maybe 5th?
For 1 year, I do think he would be in the top 5.
I think there is such a McVay bump, and it is so difficult to evaluate. I think the truth is somewhere between him being the MVP and whatever you thought about him when he was in Detroit.
Which was still top 10-ish right there.
I mean, but you're evaluating him based on where he's at right now, aren't you? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, but you're also
an MVP.
Yeah, but you're also trying to project, like, what would he be in a different situation? That's why I kind of control it with if you were drafting and you just had to win this year.
Like, some quarterbacks transcend whatever offense they're in. They're just going to be legit.
Yeah, like, I would take Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow over him for sure in a draft. And then I think that he's in the conversation of, like, okay, would I take him 4th? Because I think I would, for 1 year, I think I would actually take him over Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think, and that's good. I think 4th.
That's kind of like where we start the conversation.
Very reasonable. Yeah.
He was a guy that, when he was at Detroit, was being talked about similarly with Dak and
Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
Eli Manning.
Yeah.
They were all kind of in that
fringe top 10
range.
They were all
like, hey, is this guy really a dog? Why do you got him at Stafford? He's never won. He's never done anything. God, he looks old out there playing.
20 picks in a year.
Yeah. And now it's like, man, I don't know if it's a bump. Could we say now with some certainty that that guy at the Rams could take any quarterback and probably get a playoff team out of it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think McVay's that dude, for sure.
You think,
any starting quarterback.
Yeah. Any starting quarterback in the league could go with this guy.
Yeah.
And they have a shot to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yes.
With him at the quarterback.
Yeah, McVay's awesome. Now, here are the Cowboys on the top 100 for Pete Prisco. There's only 4. Dak is your highest. He's the 6th quarterback. He's 43rd on the list. Quinnen Williams is at 54. He's the 2nd best defensive tackle. CeeDee Lamb's at 60. That's a big drop from he was at 27 last year. And he's the wide receiver 6 on the list. And then Pickens is at 66, wide receiver 8. Biggest snub.
Tyler Smith.
No Tyler Smith.
No Tyler Smith for sure.
Wow.
Stunning.
Is that PFF related?
Maybe. I mean, look, Tyler was definitely banged up last year and he played through the injury. But, give Pete a text.
I'll see if he'll give us an answer.
Because not having Tyler Smith, I do think, is a little bit crazy to me. Like, he's without question a top 100 player. And he's in the conversation for best guard in football. So, that's a miss. But
sometimes
otherwise, I think that's fair.
Sometimes you just don't see one, you know, and you end up posting a mock draft
with the guy,
you know, without the top guys. So I get that. I like what Prisco does. I appreciate the content. Yeah, I think CeeDee Lamb has a lot to prove this year. And maybe it's difficult playing with another number one player, but like what you can control, better yak, less drops.
It's the drops for sure for me.
And be healthy.
Yeah, hopefully. Be healthy. Because this would be three straight years if he misses time again, the team would be pretty banged up. All right, let's go to Caleb Downs. Downs to Business, the podcast that he's got with his brother.
Can I just say how good he looks?
Oh, fantastic.
He's sitting in the weight room, and it's just like, he looks outstanding. Bro. He is stout.
Caleb Downs.
Like, built. Yeah. Like,
he's a shorter guy, but he is physically compact. Like put together 100%. Here's Caleb talking about his OTA experience.
It was an honor to go against everybody that we got on the team and get my first real experience. Every phase is a little bit different. Rookie minicamp, we didn't really do too much, but we were. It was good for learning the system and everything. OTAs, that was fun, honestly. Just being able to go up against guys like CeeDee Lamb that I've watched since I was a kid, and now I get to play against them and learn from reps against them. So it's an honor to be on the field with everybody, but it's a big learning experience for me.
Definitely. All about, hey, getting in the film room, talking with CP, the learning. This is where it is. It's the install. This is what the OTAs are all about, but you can hear the joy and excitement in his voice. He's fun to listen to just talk ball. The speed difference. I think that's one of the biggest questions for these rookies. You go from college to the pro. The speed of the game was what you hear about. Here was Downs on that speed difference.
Yeah, I would say speed. I mean, it's the same, honestly. Football's football. I mean, it's just a different viewpoint. So that's the only really difference. Playing against individual guys may be the difference, but I wouldn't say like the full field speed. Yeah, I would say the first couple of days of practice, I was definitely, I was waiting for the air, waiting for the breaks, trying to get my breath back. But that was a big thing. And once you got past those first like day or two, it became normal.
Pete answered back.
What'd he say?
I said, no Tyler Smith in top 100. He said, just outside. I said, reason? He says, I didn't think he was as good last year. That's his reason.
No,
that's
I mean, fair. That is true. He wasn't as good. But
no, he wasn't as good. But, yeah. I mean, I'd have to go through and just see how many guards did he have on the list. And if it just didn't end up being a ton of guards, then, hey, I mean, it is what it is. But I wonder if that means Tyler Smith won't be on the NFL top 100 list as well.
He's texting me. He goes, I love the kid. He just certainly – he wasn't as good – protection as he's been in the past. I mean, he's blown up my phone now trying to make up.
He missed some games and, you know.
I mean, he was hurt. He played hurt the whole year.
Yeah, that's going to.
I mean, he was not as dominant last year as we've seen him previously, but.
Very significant knee tendonitis situation.
Yes, and I guess maybe that's us, you know, kind of caping, giving him the benefit of the doubt because he was still as good as he was despite playing through the injury. But I can understand from a national perspective, it's like, yeah, he had a down year.
There's a lot of good players, 32 teams. You know, Cowboys had more on average.
Four, yeah. They got four on the list. And I think that all four of those are, like, if I had to guess, those would be the top four, and then Tyler. And then after that, we got to hope, like, a Tyler Booker can get in there, right? Maybe a Caleb Downs can get in there, and some others can step up in a big way. I mean, you had Deron Bland on there a couple of years ago. Can he get back to where he was? Here's the last Caleb Downs nugget for you, but his impression overall of this Dallas Cowboys offense.
Didn't get to see George fully just because he wasn't fully there every day. But when he showed up, had great energy, and it was really cool to feel his energy around the program and be around everybody. But they're elite, honestly. They did it last year, and they'll do it again this year. They have elite players, and they've been able to play at a really high level with Dak being their leader and putting the ball where it needs to be. And you got guys like CeeDee and Ferg and everybody making plays. So
facts.
They got a lot of talent, even speed with Turp and guys like that.
Yeah.
We had in our team, and they put his camp up there, and it was some kid had a ski mask on. And it was like, George, you passed out ski masks to everybody because the kid had a ski mask on, the next kid had a ski mask on. And it was funny. It was just everybody was like, why the kids wearing ski?
You know they're gonna wear a ski mask at his camp. That's what you know.
I'll tell you, that is one of the most BS narratives, I think, out there. George Pickens being a bad teammate. Because so far, anything you hear from a Cowboys player, and we heard out at the Super Bowl, they love George.
Yeah, they do.
He's loved.
When Williams, Williams resigned, right, one of the first things he said was, hey, you know, let's get Pickens done next.
Yes.
Kind of a thing.
Dak was super outspoken about George Pickens. And, like, I mean, I made the comparison. They weren't the same way with Micah. They didn't have the same energy with Micah Parsons. But with Pickens, like, he is a vibes guy. Like, they do love him in that locker room. I think it's an organizational thing more than anything. Like, if we're giving you money, we need to make sure that you're doing the extra correct whatever that word is that I can't say right now, that you need to do. Because this is what we're paying for you. It's about being on time, holding yourself accountable. If I need you out here for, you know, something to represent the club, this PR thing, that PR thing, like, we need to make sure you're there. You can't just decide, oh, I don't want to be there. This comes with the territory. It's not just showing up on game days.
No, and I'm sure there's stuff that George Pickens would, you know, would be asked to do better or more of from an organizational standpoint. That's what the problem was with the Steelers. Like, the coaches and the organization was such a stickler on being on time and doing everything 100% to the best of your ability. The Cowboys have done a tremendous job of recognizing maybe he's not the guy that's going to march in line with all of that, and they're reaping the benefits of it. You know, in a big way. But yeah, ideally, you know, George Pickens would be the guy that runs routes to sacrifice for his teammate. Are you willing to suffer for your teammate? You know, are you willing to make sure that you're dialed into everything? That would be the ideal thing for George Pickens to do. But I don't think we're going to get there with him. I do think it's cool, though, how the Cowboys have proven once again they can take a guy that might not be having the best experience and get him comfortable. Similar thing happened with Kyrie Irving, you know?
Yes.
You know, there's
absolutely.
And if you can be that team, and I don't think it's like sacrificing your principles, it's just understanding some people are different and we're in a talent business. Obviously Nico couldn't do that with Luka. You know, Nico decided if you're not willing to respect my authority, you got to go. And pay the ultimate price.
817, a humble, hardworking superstar leader. Downs is him. I'm with you. That's our guy. And I'm so happy we've got Caleb Downs with a star on his helmet. All right, let's go to Pardon My Take. And George Kittle, who's been promoting Tight End U, which is going on right now.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't know if Ferg's there because he's probably on his honeymoon. He just got married. He was definitely somebody that was out there yearly for Tight End U. Maybe this year he had to punt on it with the timing.
That's a power play. That's a tone setter at the beginning of a relationship, though. Like, hey, honey, we'll hit that honeymoon at some point. Like,
we'll
don't worry about
after.
It. But I got some Tight End you business. I got to do keg stands on the stage with George Kittle.
Damn right. And I think last year Dak was out there throwing at it.
Is out there now.
Well, hey, you got to get Mac Daddy.
People are wondering if he's cracked out while he's out there. He's
really?
Acting a fool.
Is he looking slim?
No, it's not even that. He's just kind of...
Was he wearing like jeans? What was he doing?
No, man. He just seems like he's having the time of his life.
He's kind of
a goofball. I think he's embraced the role that he's got where it's like, if Purdy goes down,
I'm
good here. I'm making money. I'm having fun. I'm the backup. Sure, I'll go throw some balls to some tight ends.
It's a good living, man.
He's just kind of dancing out there and having a good time.
Doing a truffle shuffle now and then. It's a hell of a life. Ecuador's tied it up.
What, I know. He's kind of crazy.
He's goofing.
It's like they pulled a guy out of the stands to throw the ball.
And he's just doing trick shot throws.
He does not look like a quarterback. Like, if you were just to see, like, it's definitely dad bod on steroids there.
It's an insurance agent.
So, yeah, here was Kittle, and they're asking him because PFT is a big Washington Commanders fan, and he's got to ask him about Brandon Ayuk, and this was Kittle and the back and forth they had.
How good is he still? Like, the last time you saw him play, like, how excited should I be to probably have him on the Commanders?
The last time I saw Ayuk was, call it week 6, 7, or 8. I don't really know. But I used to make it a habit of mine to go out early in the morning before meetings to watch him train because he'd always be out there early. And I watched him run over 22 miles an hour and stop on a dime. So he's still got it. Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, that was 8 months ago. So I don't really know. But yeah, you guys have fun with that, I guess.
Yeah, thank you.
That's perfectly put.
I'm going to have a lot of fun with that.
Perfectly put.
I guess.
Still got it. Have fun with that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have fun with all that comes with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he seems like he's very active on social media, which, you know, that's a great way to connect with fans and brands and sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it seems like this, once he gets to us, then he'll finally be happy and every bad thing's going to go away.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't be happy either after a team paid me $130 million.
I know, that can be... Well, the taxes in California, he's probably like, oh, this sucks. I got so much taxes to pay.
More money, more problems, right?
Yes,
100%. So, yeah, we'll take him. He'll make less money, and he'll be happier, and then he'll stop posting weird stuff on social media.
That honestly sounds like a game plan.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Then we're all in agreement. It sounds like a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
I think they nailed this. I think they crushed it. Brandon Ayuk, I mean, Adam Schefter was saying yesterday, every time he turns on the camera, he's just off-putting more and more people across the league. I mean, he is going down what seems to be an Antonio Brown-level trajectory here. I hope that, you know, we haven't seen the last Brandon Ayuk being a good receiver in the NFL.
I think there's definitely some CTE possibly at play or other mental illness things Like, he's always alone in these videos.
He is alone.
You know? Like, ooh, dude, is he isolated? Is he isolated, depressed? I don't know. But there's, like, Britney Spears vibes to it, isn't there?
Like, yeah, if I saw the samurai swords at one point, or the katanas.
And he was in lingerie.
<It's>
weird.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
he was in a closet with no clothes.
Yeah, so he was just throwing money around.
Well, he was wearing clothes, but there was no clothes hanging up in the closet.
I just think he needs to be institutionalized way more than he needs to go to Washington. You know what I'm saying?
Like, okay. He's more fit for a straitjacket than
a
helmet.
We need a very thorough mental health workup on this guy.
We got a lot of crazies in Washington. He'll fit right in.
If I'm the, yeah, maybe.
Wow.
I mean, but if I'm the 49ers and if I haven't let him go, we need to get our doctors to him. Like, I know he is trying to engage in some kind of warfare with us. Maybe I'm at the NFL league office. Like, we got to get IU checked out.
Maybe this is all about, the substation's fault.
I mean, in the wake of Marshawn Nyland, how about that for bringing the mood down?
Oh wow!
In the spirit of Marshawn freaking Nyland, that's what I'm talking about here. That's what I'm getting from IUK. This isn't funny.
No, it's not.
It's not at all. All right, it's
LA.
Scary.
What do you got, LA Live?
Okay, let's hit the C note.
Yeah, this is not funny at all, dude.
Cowboys news of the evening coming up next in The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Time to hit the C note here. Cowboys news of the evening. We will we'll get you the latest intel on Jaden Blue's offseason. And is this reason to be optimistic here for a breakout from Jaden Blue, second year out of UT? Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. So, Brian, before we get to that Jaden Blue thing, yesterday we asked how sure were you that George Pickens is going to be a full participant in camp?
Yeah.
What did you hear?
Yeah, it was – there were – asked a couple of guys that would know that have direct involvement with George, and I said, hey, what are you thinking here? And they both guys came back and said, not worried about this, should be able to go for us, no problem. And I'm like, okay, so you never know what might change, but right now, like, people who are out there with George every single day are having the feeling that that he will participate when we get out there and they start lining them up. So we'll see. But like I say, it's at least a couple of people in the organization feel like they're going to be okay.
Well, that would be awesome. You know, my concern is with Mulligetta and the agency. And I understand the players and the agents are in this fight. And it's a tale as old as time when it comes to pro sports and labor against owners and everything. And you got to fight tooth and nail for what you're owed. And, you know, and to get the feeling of importance that a big contract does. And I hope that is the case when we get to Oxnard, California, because that would be a very significant wrinkle. If I'm the Cowboys and I don't want to do a long-term deal with George, but now he's not in camp.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think it's disrespectful to even say we're not even going to negotiate with you.
Well, I think
they only have until July 15th.
Yeah. So yeah, they're definitely running out of time.
Like, by the time you get to camp, you don't even have the opportunity to get the long-term contract deal done anyways.
Right.
So there is nothing you can do past July 15th. He's playing on the tag until next March.
Yeah, he's playing on the tag.
Unless you just pull a Le'Veon Bell kind of situation.
Oh, geez. And that, yeah, there's nobody that would want to do that at this point.
That backfired his career.
Yeah, that was, nobody will ever try that again. Mishota wrote this morning about Jaden Blue in The Athletic. And running back, big topic, for the team. The headline, why the Cowboys running back Jaden Blue feels he'll put disappointing rookie season behind him. And the stories about learning and, you know, what went wrong and You know, the belief is his professionalism is, you know, made a significant jump. But Chief, there was some OTA reporting in there from Mashota as well that was fresh into this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So Mashota noted minicamp and OTA practices don't show much in terms of what to expect when the pads come on in training camp. That'll be the real test. But he says it was interesting to see Dak Prescott targeting Blue in the passing game during some first team work in team drills and 7-on-7. And then following at least one practice that was open to the reporters, Blue stayed after to work with Prescott on specifically red zone routes. So I think when it comes to the, you know, trying to usher in Jaden Blue into the offensive conversation, of course you want to be able to give him some carries to spell Williams a little bit, but I think a lot of what they are excited about in Blue is him as a pass catcher. And you guys remember studying him at Texas. That was a
part of his game.
Huge part of his game.
Definitely.
Those wheel routes out of the backfield, and it's 20-something yards down the field, let alone the screen game. Like, if you could really dial in on a screen game and a screen game package specifically with Jaden Blue, that would be huge. Anywhere on the field, but I think in the red zone it would go a long way for you as well. I think they had at least one Javonte Williams red zone screenplay that went for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, man, Blue could really help you in so many different ways. But the passing game, I think, is where they're really looking at it.
The Wednesday practice, that was the first time we'd seen them run screens in the team period. So that was something that we only had the opportunity to – Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We really didn't get to see anything Thursday. But the Wednesday practice, Blue was running with the ones, and they tried screens to him both to the left and the right side. And then there were times where Dak dumped the ball to him when he was like in a check down area and stuff like that. So, yeah, using him as a pass receiver can definitely benefit this offense. His hands are very good. The movement's very good, and the run after catch is really good. So – I would like to see them do more of that if they could.
So that jumped out to me in this story. And then Clayton Adams' quote saying, I've always been a little bit more in places where you try to keep your starting guy as fresh as you possibly can and spell him with another player. And maybe that is Jaden Blue. But I mean, looking at what Malik Davis did last year with 250 yards on 52 carries and then the 43-yard touchdown.
Yeah, in the Kansas City game.
If you're power ranking, like, which running backs can take the pressure off of Javonte Williams more, shouldn't that list start with Malik?
He's shown you the most.
Yeah, in terms of what you know.
Yes, but I still think Blue is a better overall back. You know, he's got the higher upside than what Malik Davis
Blue
does.
Blue is the guy you want to be that guy
that
you can trust.
That's what you drafted him for.
His skill set is unlike anything, even, and props to Malik Davis for his entire career and the way he's had to navigate things. And to be, you know, at least decent. But Blue is a guy that can really elevate you in a huge way with the speed and the explosiveness and the pass catching.
It's an upside or floor discussion.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. But the thing with Blue is he's got to figure out the fumbles, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't care how good you are. If you're going to be turning the football over, you're not playing for me. And that's something that he needs to correct because that was a big problem for him. Even going back to college, he's got to clean that area up of protecting the football. But that's exciting to hear because the screen game, and especially with your tackles, and I think Clayton Adams is somebody that could be creative with this. Like, what are your strengths when it comes to your tackles? And Guyton and Steele are both really good athletes. They can get out in space. And your guards are not necessarily the ones that are going to be elite pullers. Like, Tyler Smith can do that, but that's not necessarily Booker and Beebe's best attributes getting out there. They're capable of getting to the second level, but can you find a way to kind of, maybe I can pull my tackle out there a little bit? That it's a differentiation of the pin and pull kind of conversation that we had last year, because they really weren't able to get a lot of outside runs going.
I mean, I want to get excited about Jaden Blue, but after last summer when we talked about him constantly and then we're into training camp and it's like, just wait till Jaden Blue gets healthy and watch this, and then you know, he had the couple of injuries, and then when we get to the regular season, he's not even active. I thought, how long is that journey that he's got to go on to being a guy they can trust? And Shoddy's been sort of measured in his praise of how much more professional he is and how much more he has to do. So I'm mentally preparing myself to, you know, to be in a similar Jaden Blue spot. And the fumble thing is huge, Wolchuk.
It's big.
You know, with how much ball security hurt the Cowboys on both sides last year, you know, I think that could cause him to be benched.
if he has a mistake early, a mistake in preseason. Like Caleb Johnson last year had the big kick return flub for the Steelers, cost him a chance to beat Seattle early in the year.
Great point.
And he was just Dunsky. Okay, DallasCowboys.com took on the topic of should the Cowboys move Tyler Guyton to right tackle and have Shelton and Thomas battle it out at left. I think it's the start of an interesting topic, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have to include bringing somebody else in to play the left tackle. Is it the Taylor Decker? Is
that he's probably the best one available.
And maybe that's a pipe dream. But I just don't think that's realistic. Like, Guyton at left, Steele at right has got to be better than Guyton at right. Although, I am intrigued. Could Guyton be a better right tackle? You know, he's making progress at left, but he played college right. If like eight games,
it was weird. It was so weird how many starts he had. I wasn't trying to disrupt you there. I mean, it just seems so weird that to me the best thing to do. I will say this: I noticed Shelton far more in the last two practices again than any of the practices. So maybe it's not Thomas that's going to battle with, if you want to say, Guyton. Maybe it is Shelton. Maybe Shelton is going to be that guy. And if Shelton does show up, then maybe you do have your, like, okay, well, maybe we need to move this guy and see. But, man, he's had more starts at left tackle than he has right tackle.
He has.
In his career.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, now he has.
Now he has. He started a year at right tackle.
Yeah.
But so it would have to be predicated by Shelton being so impressive.
Yes.
And we got to get into pads and everything to see
that. I think that's one of those things where we're talking about a camp battle and it's probably not a camp battle.
Okay, we have from Blogging the Boys three players the team could sign to sneaky smart extensions this summer. Number one, Brevin Spanford. I think that's a good idea.
Mm. Yeah, I think he clearly has a role.
Nothing better than a good tight end signing. The Cowboys are good at that.
Well, and you saw, like, one, you saw the run on tight ends in the draft. Like, the value for these guys are going up, so they're being taken earlier in the draft. A guy like Charlie Kohler, who was tight end three with the Ravens, and really doesn't have much in the way of actual production other
Brenton
than the blocking
Strange
factor.
Yesterday.
Yeah, he just got paid. Yeah, yeah, Brenton Strange. So,
16 mil.
Yeah.
For 500 yards a year.
That's the way it is now. You want three tight ends.
Especially if Spanford continues to take another step. Because, Brian, I thought you were spot on. He looked like he was kind of battling the football his rookie year.
He did.
But he was so much more comfortable. He clearly put the work in the offseason. He actually showed you he can give you something in the passing game. But as a blocker, you could maybe get a nice cheap team-friendly type of deal there.
He played 24% of the defensive snaps versus 33% for Schoonmaker. Those guys got to be better. Like, they're negative EPA per run in 12 and barely even tried 13. Negative EPA per run in 12 personnel. And, you know, I think Spanford has a tremendous amount of potential.
Yeah.
I want to push him out on the field as much as possible. Man, the violence and the mobility that he plays with. Okay, DeMarvian Overshown, I'm good. You know, if he blows up, I'm willing to pay extra.
Yeah, I think you got to wait and see. I mean, we're all rooting for it, but
yeah,
gosh, we got to see if he can play a full season.
The injury history, I think, would bring down the market if he hit free agency. I don't think people would be lining up to break the bank for him. I don't think you're saving anything, and you really need certainty that he can make it through a year. And then D Winters,
ooh,
you know, this linebacker cupboard's pretty empty. Could you be that convinced that D Winters an answer for you even before the game's played, that, well, you give him a new contract?
The way that he is, the way he's being used in the practices I saw, he's the one cat that's not coming off the field. Everybody else is kind of rotating at the other positions, and he seems to be the one guy that's kind of out there on the defense the whole time.
Very interesting. All righty. We got Sands coming up in about an hour. He'll tell you the latest as Corey Seager is back tonight. But it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, Dawson, we've got a World Cup game, and it has to do with the starting 11 for the U.S. tonight. We'll do that next.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. Thank you to Greystone for being a part of this as well. Got a new Love of the Star out today. Right, Eric?
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we did. Yes, we have.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we will.
So, yeah. So, new Love of the Star. Check it out. That's our Odyssey podcast. So, we kind of dove into a lot of things today. You know?
Yeah, some good Caleb
kinda,
Downs stuff.
Kind of kicking it around with Caleb Downs a little bit and stuff like that. So, yeah. Be sure you check that out on everything. Everywhere you can get your podcast, right?
Everywhere.
Isn't that what they say?
It's all over the place.
I want to play a game today.
Oh, do you?
I want to play a game.
Oh, crap.
But Dawson can't play the game.
Oh, no.
Because Dawson is our official soccer guy.
Yeah.
And
so, a lot of pressure now. A
lot of pressure on Dawson. So Dawson's going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Okay.
So what you're going to do, I'm playing this game tonight because we don't know if Poach is going to. By the way, he is wearing the same outfit.
Oh, what'd you learn about that?
As he should.
Does he get a sponsored deal on that?
That's
or something?
A Hugo Boss.
Okay.
That's a Hugo Boss outfit. And, like, they've got him several of them. And the fact that they've played well in them.
Okay.
So it's, you know, his blue shirt with the one button, basically, that he buttons with the white T-shirt, blue pants, and his white Nikes. So he is going to wear the same outfit again tonight.
So they have like a soccer fan line I'm finding here on Google right now since you mentioned it. I mean, you called that out when we were talking about it last week. It looked like a Hugo Boss thing.
I did. It's I'm a...
Apparently you can get into that outfit for about $200.
Well, it's an interesting shirt, but it's got the U.S. soccer logo on the left pocket is where he's at. So, yeah, but you can get into, but he...
Yeah, you can't get the embroidered stuff.
No, you can't get the embroidered stuff, but you can get the shirt and all that. So, Hugo Boss, he is a very superstitious guy from what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, very superstitious. So he's going to rock the same outfit. But let's see if he rocks the same team tonight, right? So, you know, they've got through, they've won the group.
Yeah.
So the question is, do you rest guys?
We got four players with yellows.
Yeah, you got yellow
probably
cards.
Probably not going to want to play those guys.
So are we guessing the starting lineup for tonight or just the general starting lineup?
Nope. I'm going to name a player, and you're going to tell me if he's a backup that can play tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a name.
A backup, bro.
A backup.
This is John Wall or something.
Yeah, this is unbelievable, dude.
Let's see if we know our U.S. backups tonight for this match.
Jeez, bro.
Okay.
I'm excited, man.
Hang in. We all love soccer, right? We're all like Americans here.
I do like America.
We're all about the red, white, blue.
I do love my country.
And we're going to have 11 new dudes out there tonight. And, like, tomorrow we're going to come on and, like, boy, I'll tell you what. Did you see old so-and-so? We're gonna act like we're
Turkey A's ass.
We're gonna act like we're experts in this game.
You heard my prediction last Friday. Hey, yeah, I love my country. I don't know what's gonna happen.
It's 50-50.
I was just riding on Dawson's confidence.
50-50. We'll see if like you say, you gotta know your guys.
Yeah.
This is important. Hey, by the way, Dawson, let me ask you, soccer expert guy. Is this kind of important though, that maybe this is his way though of him getting everybody into like that's on the team? Getting them a little work, but making them feel like they're part of the team.
There
kinda
you
play,
go.
Playing a different 11.
Could have done this without you, man.
So when
it's all said and done.
So when it's at the end of the campaign, really you're like, hey, we got some guys that got some World Cup experience, that kind of thing? Or
Yeah. You know, I think it's a blessing to have this as a third game that doesn't matter because out of the things I would power rank, eliminating the yellow card count and eliminating injury risk, that would be the third thing. Like getting everybody involved is cool. But I think it might be good for your vibes in the elimination round if those depth players, you know, can bring something off the bench, some energy on the bench, some belief.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Hugo Boss outfit, I misspoke. It's $500 for just the top.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's relaxed fit, washable virgin wool.
Wow. With the white
that's
white
good material.
We could afford the white t-shirt he probably wears underneath it. Maybe.
Yeah, but he's got to deal with them. His picture is in here.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to shop the Mauricio Pochettino line?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
He's a sharp-dressed guy when it comes to this stuff. When he was with Tottenham, he was
sold out, though.
Dressed and stuff.
I bet it's sold out.
How would you like to show up at a party wearing it, like, with the one button like he does?
Yeah, because, I mean, the model is wearing it much more like it's an informal suit. Yeah. He's wearing it like it's a sweatsuit.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's start this game off. Here we go. I'm going to name a guy. You're going to tell me, is he a...
So it comes from virgin sheep?
I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
What is that?
Yep.
Virgin sheep? We need to look that up.
These haven't been sullied yet.
The sheep.
No towel needed for this one.
How do we pick those out of the crowd?
Okay, so that refers to...
sheep is lying.
This is their first time they've been shorn.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, apparently that wool is better. Wool. It's the first cut.
Oh, cut wool. Silky wool. All right. Now we know. Shorn. I like that. Wooly.
Yes.
Jonathan David. Jonathan David.
Jonathan David's a backup.
Two first names?
Jonathan David.
I don't believe Jonathan David's been a starter for us.
But is he a backup? He is a U.S. backup guy, right?
Yeah, I mean,
he could be a backup for another country.
Oh, he could be a backup for another.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is where this could get. Okay. Yeah, see, this is going to be.
Or he could be a starter for another country.
Not a U.S. starter, so I'm just going to go with a U.S. backup.
You're going U.S. backup?
Yeah.
How about you there, Chieftain? Jonathan David.
I think I saw him playing for the Netherlands.
Whoa. Yeah. Really? Yeah? Jonathan David, Netherlands?
Pretty sure I did.
All right. How about you there?
I don't think Jonathan David's a real person.
Sounds made up.
Yeah.
It's just Jonathan David.
You're saying fictional. Jonathan David, not a U.S. backup.
Yeah, that sounds like a lie my son would make.
No, I was chilling with Jonathan David.
You know him.
Promise, Dad. You haven't met him yet.
John David.
He got straight A's. Yeah. Johnny, get over here.
It's a great kid.
Dawson, do you have an answer for this one?
Yes, I do. And this is another one of the players that Abby asked me about the other day.
He's kind of
Yeah, I think he had a bunch of goals for Canada the other day.
He's Canadian.
Oh, that's what I meant. Did I say the Netherlands?
That's what I meant.
I meant Canada. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, he was part of that scoring for Canada.
Yeah, Jonathan David plays for.
He's a dual citizenship type of guy.
Wow. Canadian. He is a Canadian. Damn.
Hell of a jawline. I see it.
Chief.
I get it. Right? It's like, I understand, honey. Yeah. He had two goals today.
She's already ordering his jersey online.
He had two goals today.
Yeah. I'm like, look at Neymar now. He's fat. How about that?
Is he really?
Yeah.
How about this one, Chief?
He's fat. Screw that guy.
Yeah. They called me the Girthquake.
Please say Ricardo Pepi.
No. How about this one, Chieftain?
Yeah.
Eric Smith.
Oh, yeah, I don't think – I haven't been – usually when there's an Eric on the team, somebody lets me know, like, hey, one of your guys. I've not been informed about an Eric Smith. This is another one of those just generic names. Eric Smith and John David.
Yeah,
I don't
Jonathan
think so, man.
Okay.
I don't think so. I'm going to say no.
You're saying no on Eric Smith. How about your Lucius?
That's not a backup.
Okay. You're saying that he is not a U.S. backup.
Mm-mm.
Okay. How about you there, Ward?
Yeah, I don't think this is a U.S. member.
You don't think so?
No.
Dawson, you have an idea?
All I have is not a U.S. player.
He's actually from Sweden.
Got one.
Heck yeah.
There's Eric David.
Eric David.
He's Swedish.
Eric Smith.
All right.
Wow, Eric Smith David.
We're going to Pib Cup. Lucius. How about this one? Chris Brady.
Chris Brady.
The Brady Bunch.
Tom's.
Chris
Tom?
Brady.
Tom's cousin.
Chris Brady.
USA backup.
USA backup.
USA backup, Chris Brady.
Says Lucius. USA backup, says Lucius. How about you there, Wooly?
Chris Brady.
Are you scouring the texts right now?
The only things are the Canadian striker, and they come in late. I don't think there's a Chris Brady on Team USA, but I have no idea who else he could play for.
Chris Brady, you're saying no onto that, right?
I'm going to say no on Team USA. He's probably a tremendous player for some other team, England.
Well, can we do the thing where we haven't had a USA player yet, right? Aren't we due for one?
Probably.
You never know.
But with this psychopath over here,
he might give us no U.S. players.
He does like to shake it.
I really thought the first one was a U.S. guy.
This is Chris, not Christopher.
This is Chris Brady.
Okay.
Lucius is saying he is a U.S. player. Wooly says...
Just because we're due.
Willie says no.
It was a turnaround jumper, bro. See, blind.
Exactly.
I'm looking for the goals of the turnaround.
The odds. Yeah.
I like it. You never know, man. You never know.
No, he's on Team Mexico. I know ball.
Yeah, Brady. Yeah.
I know ball.
You've given up this game. You've so quit. Any World Cup game is such a quit.
It is, dude.
Dawson, would you like to tell him?
I don't know. I know he is an MLS goalie. I know he's been on the U.S. roster before, but I kind of skim over the goalkeepers, you know, like it's a punter or something. Like, who cares?
Oh, then maybe he's a backup goalie.
He is.
Is he a backup goalie?
He's the third U.S. goalie.
He's the third U.S. goalie.
For Mexico?
Woo! Yeah, for Mexico. He's got dual citizenship like the Canadian guy.
Okay, how about this one to you there, Chieftain?
Yes, sir.
Alejandro Zendejas. Alejandro Zendejas.
See, that's an American guy right there. Yeah, he's wearing the red, white, and blue.
You think so?
100%.
Alejandro, how about you, Lucius? Alejandro Zendejas.
Shoot, man.
Kid me.
It's broadest, though, bro.
No, I have. I mean, he's probably not, but I'm going American.
I'm with Chief.
You're Chief on this
one? I'm with Chief, man. I'm with Chief, bro.
How about you there, Willie?
I got a feeling.
Alejandro Zendejas does sound very familiar.
Yeah.
Not American.
But not American?
Gosh, this guy doesn't know ball, does he, Broadus? Tell him how just
awesome. Ridiculous would you like to tell him what's going on?
He's not American.
You're saying he's not American?
He's not American. He's American.
He's on the U.S. team.
Wow.
He's a backup for the U.S. team.
He must have worked out a deal to get him.
You might see Alejandro Zendejas play tonight for the U.S.
Move over, Captain America. Make all a right. place that, for Zendejas.
That's all the time I have. I promise tomorrow, Eric, I'll be better.
Thank you. No, I think you did a hell of a job. Yeah. Krusty's Corner.
I got two right.
Brought to you by Greystone Roofing. What time's the game tonight? Is the game at 9 or does the cover start at 9?
It's at 9. Cover starts at 8.
Let's go. All righty. When we return, it's time for the 4 o'clock hour and an expanded hoop discussion coming your way, Chief.
Yes, sir. We got lots to get to when it comes to the association, including your Dallas Mavericks and all the rumors with the big stars next year in the nation.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.